If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Kaya Biz.
Tech and innovation.
So excited for our next guest. Paul Rowett is the co-founder of Toko. Toko is an... I'm going to let him explain it a little better, because when he first explained it to me when we met over a business dinner, I was like, okay, my eyes are glazing over, because, you know, I think the last time I was very tech savvy was, you know, with dial up. But Toko is basically short for a ton of OCO, or the molecular formula for carbon dioxide. And it's a way of turning your carbon footprint, or the saving, I think, on your carbon footprint into cash in your pocket. I told you today was a great day to be a consumer. 7:50. Paul Rowett, thank you so much for joining us on Kaya Biz. How are you this evening?
Thank you, Rafira. I'm feeling great, and thank you for the introduction. That was pretty good, actually. You were listening. You weren't glad to know that.
I'm so glad. All right, so talk to me about what actually inspired it, and your establishing and founding this business, and maybe give a more scientific version of the concept than I did.
Yeah, thanks, Rafira. So Toko is a monetary system that places value on the environment, and the concept that inspired this was trying to make carbon reduction or carbon mitigation part of everyday life, and make it useful to human beings around the world, and make it easy. Money is just the instrument that creates the demand and supply. I heard that mentioned earlier in your show. But if we can incentivize carbon removal and carbon reduction, and we can potentially look at our natural world, forests, and you know, the grasslands of the world as assets that store carbon, which is a very valuable thing for humans. Previously, money has been backed by gold. It's currently backed by bonds or government debt. But if we look at the world slightly differently, and we say, well, removing carbon is actually a very valuable activity, because forests do remove carbon, they can be looked at as assets because they provide this very valuable service. And if we look at those as assets, then surely we can value that and exchange value on that. And that's essentially what Toko has done. We've created a mechanism to value the natural world in a different way.
So this is excellent. I can absolutely understand the concept of the value of the natural world and it being an asset. But how do I get to take ownership of that asset in my pocket?
So as most things, you start by downloading an app. the wallet is connected to a proprietary blockchain, and that is permissioned, which means it's safe and secure and compliant with the traditional financial world. You then exchange your fiat currency, or in this case, rands, but in Europe, you know, whatever currency you deal with. You will exchange that for tokos and then go and spend those tokos at participating merchants. And you use it just like you use money. There's other functions, as money has three functions. In this case, I was explaining the means of exchange. It's a medium of exchange. I can buy coffee and lunch and stay in a hotel and pay with Toko. Or I can store it. I can store my value in it. A lot of currencies are good stores of value because they are stable and they appreciate over time. Or you can use it as a means of account. So you can measure your carbon footprint. Typically, companies will measure their carbon footprint and invest or try and mitigate that footprint by investing in carbon mitigation schemes, or you know, buying carbon credits. And Toko just presents an easier way for companies and individuals and merchants to do that.
So just help me one more time. So this is the part that hooked me, is the idea that it's a carbon credit in my pocket, as opposed to it being an accounting entry in a company's, or even an environmental entry in a company's financial statements. And how do I know that, how is it priced? How do I know that, is it if I decide to take a walk instead of a bus? Is it, you know, how do I decide that this is how much carbon credit is due to me?
So individuals don't necessarily earn carbon credits by the decisions that they make. In future, that is absolutely part of our plan, where individuals' shopping decisions or travel decisions are then you know, quantify it and say, okay, because you made this decision, because you bought a local soy sauce versus a soy sauce that had a high carbon footprint coming from Japan, you will get, there's a benefit there because you're choosing a lower carbon footprint product. Therefore, you can earn tokens as a result of your choice. Mm. We're not there yet, but it certainly is in the vision. And we were speaking to one of the big retailers in South Africa about that. But nowadays, the way that TOCO is applied is actually just exchanging your rand value or your euro pound value for TOCO as value. Gotcha. And then using that or storing that. We have also come up with a couple of other ideas of, you know, if somebody has solar on their roof, for example, there is an incentive there where they can get paid on a monthly basis for the carbon that they are not emitting as a result of having solar on their roof. Okay. In South Africa, it's probably a good example. South Africa, we emit about a kilogram of carbon per kilowatt hour that we use in a typical family home. And you can imagine with a high degree of solar on roofs in South Africa, there's actually a lot of carbon not being emitted because of the high propensity of solar in South Africa.
Right.
So we are looking at mechanisms where individuals can actually earn tokens for making good choices. But this is also, you know, it's also positioned between merchants and users.
Yes.
So that merchants can, and by merchants, I mean, you know, shops, you were talking about the big retailers earlier, the Checkers and ShopRites and Woolworths of the world. They can then show their, you know, climate commitment, carbon savings, their sustainability credentials to their users. Their shoppers can then say, okay, thank you for allowing us to spend in Tokyo. We can now show our commitment to sustainability, because often this question of sustainability is mistrusted because it's made behind closed doors. You know, right. Everyone says our ESG label is like a big sticker, and there's this concept of greenwashing.
And it's esoteric, right? So this becomes a little bit more tangible.
Exactly, and it's out in the open. It's very transparent. You know, a ton of carbon is just the measurement of carbon dioxide, in the same way that an ounce of gold is, you know, the measurement of a precious metal. And so we called it ton of carbon. And like most monetary systems, it has a central bank, which is the Carbon Reserve, which is based in Geneva. Mm. It's a nonprofit foundation. It buys and holds these carbon mitigation assets in the form of, you know, biochar, which is a way of removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, seagrass, mangrove swamps, forests, wind farm projects, etc. And if you can log on any time and you can have a look at those projects specifically with all the details that's backing them. So everything's very transparent. And the more users, you know, buy and hold and use TOCO, the more merchants that accept TOCO, and the bigger that economy grows,
right,
the more demand is placed on more carbon mitigation.
Paul, I mean, we're obviously on a very front foot here. This is, as you say, well ahead of some of the ways in which individuals could maximize this, but you've already had a proof of concept here in South Africa, although it is not currently active, demonstrating that many merchants are very eager to participate in this. There was massive take up of demand from individuals and, I suppose, businesses. But to your point about Geneva, this continues to be very successful for TOCO as a business, both in Zurich and Copenhagen, Denmark.
That's correct. So when we thought about, because I mean, I certainly take the point that this is a very ambitious plan that we've got. And actually, there's a just as a side note, there's a fantastic climate sci-fi novel by Kim Stanley Robinson called The Ministry for the Future. And one of the, it's kind of based on a future state, like, you know, 2028, I think it is, the year. And it's basically saying what happens if we didn't solve climate change. And there's this concept of a UN type structure called the Ministry for the Future that's based in Zurich. And one of the main solutions that the Ministry for the Future proposes to the world is a carbon-backed currency. And in the book, it's the concept of central banks use, you know, these carbon mitigation assets to back a currency in circulation. And we just thought that it'll take too long for central banks to do this. So when we thought about this concept, we were like, wow, this is quite a big idea. Where do you start? let's start in our backyard. That made the most sense. So we started in Stellenbosch. Obviously, you know, students are very keen and eager and tech savvy, and they want to get involved in climate solutions and, you know, stick it to the man, so to speak. So we started in Stellies, and we had great success. We of the 300 merchants that we kind of targeted, we landed a 180, so large propensity of merchants signed up. And of our total addressable market, we managed to secure a 65% month-on-month growth, and we ended up getting about 47% of the total total addressable market.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, we had some great stories of, we paid our rent in Toko. That was equivalent to 20 years of my personal carbon footprint that I made in one rent payment in 1 month in our offices in Stellenbosch. You could stay in hotels, you could get your hair cut, you get your nails done, you could live a full week in Stellenbosch not spending in rands. That's the variety and the depth of merchants that accepted Toko.
So one thing I would say, don't knock the novel that you were talking about, because one, we're seeing central banks around the world increasingly looking not only at the investments and regulation of crypto, but also potentially bringing it on board as an asset. So this world is not too foreign just yet. But secondly, we are out of time, but I do want to talk a little bit about the hopefully developments that we're going to be speaking about on the show when the Deputy Governor joins us in terms of getting us off the grey list to make this much simpler for us to have Toko not only here in South Africa, but when in that same wallet when we head over to Copenhagen, Zurich,
exactly.
Anywhere else
exactly.
to use it.
Yeah, thanks. So we expanded into Switzerland and into Denmark, specifically Zurich and up into the Alpine, small communities up in the Alps where they kind of feel the effects of climate change the most. And then obviously Copenhagen, because it has a very rich history and culture around sustainability. And we're seeing some amazing responses. We're growing a movement. We're growing the community there. There's a lot of grassroots activity going on. We're getting requests from all over Europe to say, can we assist to bring Toko to our countries and how do we do it and da da da. There's clearer regulation in Europe around. There's MiCA regulation. Those are familiar who will know, and that is kind of regulating the use of digital assets as currency. And one of the reasons why we had to close our operations in South Africa is because of the grey listing, as you mentioned.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.